Most in the working world who succeed are great goal setters. You set your sights on what you want to do, where you want to be, and try to collect a full understanding of how to get there. You also most likely believe that we live in a republic where freedom and liberty are a foundation which allows us to express ourselves and act in our own best interests. Well, that's not always true. As my next guest discovered, she was confronted with a choice. Remain with the company, in this case Levi Strauss, who she invested quite a few years with, resulting in mutual success, or keep what she saw as her priority and not be silenced. Well, she thankfully chose option number two and is, I think now, encouraging, empowering others to follow her lead, as well as, well, hopefully compel so-called business leaders to rethink their moves and motives. She tells her story in Levi's Unbuttoned. The woke mob took my job but gave me my voice. Jennifer Say, how are you today, Jennifer?
I'm great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for telling a story that I think in so many ways make a lot of people aware of not just what's happening in the upper echelon of business, but I think this is happening all across the board at every level. Imagine this is involving Levi Strauss. How did you get into the company? How long were you there? And how quick up the ladder were you able to climb?
Well, it took a while. I started as an entry-level marketing assistant in 1999, and by 2020, I ended up as the brand president and next in line for CEO. But in the beginning of 2020, I started to speak out about the harms being done to children from prolonged public school closures. I lived in San Francisco. Public schools were closed for 18 months. 50,000 children were kept out of school. Denied access to an education, essentially. And I was outspoken about this over the course of 2 years. And ultimately, you know, I was warned throughout that time period. And ultimately, I was told there was no longer a place for me in the company in January of 22. And rather than accept severance and their hush money, I quit. And it's so I could be here today and speak with you and write this book and you know, warn people about the dangers of censorship that are happening in corporate America.
And here's the crazy part, as we've seen in report after report and study after study in the last round about a year or so, you were right.
Yeah, I was right. and that's pretty much accepted now, that the harms that were done to children were catastrophic. And this is the problem when you have companies, private companies, and governments labeling free speech as misinformation, because anyone can just decide then what is misinformation. And we're left in a propaganda state, essentially, because everything I said was true. And I should say, I said it very diplomatically the entire time, but it was not the accepted mantra or orthodoxy on the left, and therefore it was disallowed, and I was demonized and ultimately pushed out of the company.
What, was there a policy at Levi Strauss that said, okay, you're certainly going to have social media, but here's what we would prefer you did not use it for?
Nope. No policy. And I had been, you know, outspoken on public matters and politics. You know, I would argue that this matter should never have been made political. This is about our, you know, the nation's children and whether or not they deserve an education, which they do. It's constitutionally guaranteed in California. But there was no policy, and I had been outspoken in the past about other issues that I cared about. No one cared. And, you know, I would argue that if I was speaking out and saying the schools need to close forever because they're too dangerous, nobody would have minded, because that was the accepted view. So I violated no policy. I just, you know, was deemed a reputational harm to the company for saying what I said.
I want to bring that up because there are people who, before they get involved in reading and absorbing your story, would say, well, you know, the bosses make the rules, but if the bosses don't want to give you the rules, how do you know what to do and not do?
You don't, you know, and I think it's pretty clear that given the fact that I've been outspoken about other issues, which they approved of, that when I spoke on this and they didn't approve, that there's clear viewpoint discrimination here. And for all these companies waving their arms around and saying they want to create inclusive environments, inclusivity does not include a range of viewpoints, clearly, because mine was unacceptable. Employees complained, social media mob complained, but it was a vocal, but let's be clear, it was a minority. It was a small minority, but that noise, and that those complaints became too much, and the CEO did not stand up to the mob and decided instead to push me out. But yes, you're right. The rules were never made clear. The rules are ever moving and at the whims of those, you know, who decide what is okay and what is misinformation.
I'm with Jennifer Say, former Levi Strauss executive, now the author of the book Levi's Unbuttoned, The Woke Mob Took My Job But Gave Me My Voice, levisunbuttoned.com. And Jennifer's also on Substack at jennifersay.substack.com. We have those links over at our webpage, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. You branch out from the story. You also invite people into your personal life to varying degrees, but you bring up the wave of, it's called woke capitalism. For the listener that this might be a foreign term to, explain, at least by your view and idea, what is woke capitalism?
Yeah, I think there's two aspects to it. You know, it's very trendy right now for companies to take these quote-unquote progressive stances, and I think a lot of employees and even consumers and fans of these brands and businesses are wooed by it. But the point that I am making in the book is it really serves two purposes, and neither of those purposes is actually to pursue what they would call social justice. One is to capitalize on Gen Z activism and to make money off of it by positioning your brand in line with those, you know, what they would call values. And the second is really to kind of cloak themselves in these progressive views in order to avoid any scrutiny. And we've seen how this can play out and how dangerous it is. With Sam Bankman-Fried, because, you know, this is a man who stole billions of dollars from investors, but every day, you know, people who put their life savings into FTX, and he was a darling of the press and the government and avoided any scrutiny, when the fact is he had no financial controls in place. He should have been scrutinized. He was not following the laws that are required, but he avoided any scrutiny and, in fact, is still sort of celebrated. He spoke just this week on the stage at the New York Times Deal Book Summit. This man is a criminal. And so I think I want to warn everybody about the lie that is woke capitalism, as I've just described it. Do not be wooed by it. Business is as it always has been. It's about making money, and this is really just a cynical ploy to make more money.
Well, and I guess they're playing on the fact, too, that people don't look close enough, because with woke capitalism, yeah, you can talk the talk, but if you don't walk the walk sooner versus later, shouldn't somebody catch on?
They should, but it's sort of like, I mean, as Sam Bankman-Fried said recently, it's a stance we take, we woke Westerners, so people like us. So it really is meant to kind of distract from what's really going on, and people need to be paying attention. And the press fails to interrogate, and that's incredibly problematic. We saw the same thing with Elizabeth Holmes. There was no interrogation that, in fact, her product didn't work. She put people's lives at risk and in danger, but she said all the right things and went on doing so for, you know, over a decade before it was discovered. So, you know, my point is to sort of raise the alarm and get people to really pay attention and to ask tough questions. When the government and businesses and the press are working in concert, we really are left with nothing more than propaganda.
Your story in Levi's Unbuttoned is so interesting, too, because you were basically there as this woke capitalism developed, I guess you'd say. Did you see it fully happening at that time, or did you see a lot more of it and understand it better through the hindsight as you wrote the book?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, it started happening in sort of 2014, 15, but it sort of happened slowly and then all at once. And I think, you know, I ran headlong into it during pandemic restrictions when I pushed back on these restrictions as undemocratic and a denial of our rights. You know, we weren't allowed to congregate. Small business owners couldn't run their business. People couldn't worship. We couldn't visit loved ones in the hospital. But it was the view, it was the narrative furthered by the Democratic Party, and it was unacceptable to challenge these restrictions. So, I was aware of it, and I found it to be a distraction from the business. Really, what businesses should be focusing on is providing a great product sold at a fair price and treating employees fairly. But it accelerated over the course of, you know, between the 5 years, I would say, between 2015 and 2020. And, you know, it is a real shift in business. It used to be that business leaders were proud to say that their business was about making money and their obligation was to shareholders. Now they sort of feel guilty about being very rich themselves, and so they try to shield it, and they take these stances as philanthropists and altruists. But it's just a marketing strategy, and it's a lie. So I was aware of it, but kind of ran headlong into that wall in 2020.
Well, given the amount of years you had invested in the company, too, it's until they start saying, there's the door, get ready for it to hit your face unless you bend, you're vested into something, and you have to take the toxic with the joy, I guess.
Yeah, you do. And as you rise up the ladder and have more and more influence, you think that you can influence this direction. You know, I repeatedly said, I understand, and we're a company that has taken stances in the past, but we might need to manage how much of this we do so that we stay focused on the business, so that we can run a successful and profitable business. So I had spoken about it and pushed back on it in the context of our business. But when it became very personal for me, having four children in public schools, I wasn't really willing to bend anymore. And, you know, given my history at the company, I thought that I could influence. I was naive, I suppose, because I was going up against quite a machine, as you're well aware.
Yes, but you come out ahead because you have dignity. And, well, let's just say a lot of the people that Jennifer mentions, refers to in Levi's Unbuttoned, the woke mob took my job, but gave me my voice. Those people are lacking a bit of dignity and self-respect. And the difference is, because I know for you, listen, you always hear about these books written by an observer that is trying to tell a story. Well, here's a participant in everything that was happening that can tell the story out of authority, and through the efforts, she tried to make a difference. And we can't ask ourselves any more of ourselves than that. It's up to others to listen and develop that difference, which Jennifer also offers ideas at the conclusion of Levi's Unbuttoned, the woke mob took my job and gave me my voice. She's also speaking out still at Substack, jennifersay.substack.com. Her website as well is levisunbuttoned.com. Jennifer Say, thank you so much for telling your story and for being here today.
Thank you for having me.